Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you again.
Good to be here. Getting excited. We got a real special events going on next weekend, and
yep.
I'm getting excited.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And, or hallelujah.
And this week, too, you know, is going to start the Feast of Sukkot, and there's going to be another blood moon. And I know you'll all be out in your sukkahs watching, seeing the blood moon.
You got it.
And then you'll all be coming to hear Paul Wilbur sing, and it'll just be, it's all too much.
You got that right.
It's all too much. Anyway.
Oh, man.
We've been doing a series on the One New Man, which started, I think, 7 years
last
ago.
Year? Yeah. Feels like it. Feels like a couple years ago.
But I think this is going to be the last show. I mean, we have to do something else.
Isn't it really all about the one new man anyway?
One new man.
So we've been doing the one new man
and,
for about
you know,
5 years.
That comes from around Ephesians 2:14, that Jesus in his flesh broke down the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile.
Amen.
And so we've been going through, we can't summarize all the shows, but if you go to giftofgraceministries.org, you can listen to them because they're all recorded there, interestingly enough.
Yes, they are.
And last week we went through some things from the book of Romans, and then we went into Matthew, and we started talking about the parable everybody knows as the workers in the vineyard. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of got started on that.
Yeah.
And I think, Steve, probably you should read it again.
Again?
From Matthew chapter 20. Yeah, okay. It's been a week since everybody heard it.
That's true.
Unless you've all been reading it every night at home.
Oh, God. What's your favorite gospel?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think I would have to say John.
John?
Yeah.
Not Matthew?
No, I was.
Should we go to John?
No,
we're going to Matthew. We'll go to Matthew. Okay.
This parable is only recorded by Matthew.
That is true.
Yes. We'll talk about that too.
Okay. So this is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 1 through 16. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off, and he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each one of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I want with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last."
Mm. Mm. Very powerful.
Yeah.
And since this is the last show in the series of the One New Man, but who knows?
Possibly.
Possibly. Maybe. Anyway, we're gonna relate this to the Jew and Gentile issue too, but this, of course, is also a parable about salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that there's people who resent the fact that they've done more work, they've been there longer, they've been at the church longer, they've been out working longer, they've been a missionary for 50 years, and this guy's been a believer for 7.5 days, and they get, you know, they get the same, and you know, there's kind of like harkens you back to the parable of the prodigal son and the older brother who says, hey, I'm over here working and doing the stuff, and this son of yours comes back, and now you're having a party.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
But, and this is, you know, kind of our human thing. But and the fact that this is only in Matthew, I think, is interesting, because Matthew's gospel is geared to the Jews of the time. You know, Luke's to the Gentiles, but Matthew's to the Jews. And the context of this, you know, we don't understand because, number one, we don't have vineyards, and number two is we don't go out to the market, you know, we don't go out to the town square and hire people to come and work.
Right.
But this was kind of the usual way that they hired workers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they saw people standing around and said, hey, come on, I got some work for you to do. You know, and, yeah. And this guy, the landowner, who of course represents God, goes out first thing in the morning and calls people, mm-hmm. you know, calls people, then he calls more people, then he calls more people. And the interesting thing was they're harvesting grapes. You know, vineyards right. where you grow grapes. And the harvest season for the grapes came just before the rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to get the harvest done before it started raining.
Right.
So, you know, if you were hadn't done the harvest yet and it started pouring rain for a few days, you wouldn't be able to harvest. The grapes aren't as good, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
So he's up against time right. to get the harvest in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is up against time to get the harvest in. He sets the time. You know, we're bringing in the final harvest now.
Right.
We don't know whether the harvest is going to be over tomorrow or if it's going to be over 5 years from now or 50 years from now.
Before the show's over?
Yeah, before. Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be fast.
But anyway, so, you know, the owner wants to get the harvest done by a certain time. So that's why he's calling these workers. And interestingly, too, since... You know, as anybody who knows me will say, going to know, I'm going to bring up an Old Testament example here, but
Isaiah,
actually from Deuteronomy.
Oh,
you know,
surprised
it
me.
Says, yeah, Moses writes that workers should be paid before the end of the day
mm-hmm.
because it was geared to poor people who were mm-hmm. hired out to work. So they couldn't wait for their wages.
Gotcha.
You know, the guy who hired him isn't going to say, oh, I'll pay you at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So you're supposed to pay him now.
Like we do today.
Like we do, yeah. So they couldn't wait for their pay. So, you know, he goes out at 6 p.m., which is called the first hour. You know, the Jewish day, of course, starts at sundown, but the hours are numbered from about the time of sunrise. So when somebody says, you know, the first hour, it's usually 6 a.m., the sixth hour is noon, mm-hmm. and so forth. And it's interesting that this is also a vineyard, because a vineyard is the place where the work is done.
Right.
You know, a vineyard... is a really important biblical metaphor because everything about a vineyard you can see reflected in what the Christian life is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, there's work, there's the ground has to be prepared, the plants have to be planted, the plants have to be pruned, the weeds have to be taken out.
Fertilizing, the soil. Yeah.
Then harvesting, yep. And then, you know, all these things, it's a parallel to the work of preaching the gospel.
Yeah. Isn't there a church called the Vineyard?
Yes, there is. Very near and dear to my heart. And its founder, John Wimber, who is one of my heroes, loved the name Vineyard because, as he said, a vineyard shows all the different things that come into preaching the kingdom, which are the things we just mentioned.
Yep.
And
exactly.
I love the Vineyard Church. Anyway, and so... the grapes have to be picked before a certain time. And it's interesting, too, that if you look at this from a Jew and Gentile perspective, the Jews were working for God long before the Gentiles were.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's start, you know, with Abraham, which, of course, is the beginning of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the law. You had the prophets. You had God's revelation to them.
Right.
They were supposed to be a light to the nations, as you like to point out.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to enlighten the Gentiles. They were the covenant people. They were out in God's covenant, and the faithful ones were doing the things God wanted them to do.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, here's these Gentiles who are coming in at 5 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
where they've been working since 6 a.m., and at the end of the day, they're getting the same wage.
Yeah. And you know, you hear the grumbling that happens at the end of this.
Yes.
You know, and they're thinking, oh, wait, that guy that came in at 5 o'clock, did you see that? He got the whole day's wage. Oh, man, we've been working since 6 a.m.
Yeah.
We're going to hit the jackpot today.
Yeah. Yeah. And
what do you mean we got the same wage? What's going on here? You made that guy equal to me.
This is really an American thing, especially.
I've been working in your vineyard for 9 hours longer,
mm-hmm.
10 hours longer, mm-hmm. and you made him equal to me.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
To put it in young people's terms, what's up with that?
Not fair.
That's not fair. And the landowner comes and says, didn't you agree to the usual day wage? Mm-hmm. I'm not cheating you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Whoa.
That's right. The wage that they agreed to.
Yeah.
And now, because these workers who come late, which we're going to use another example too, but if you use the example of Gentiles, they accept the gospel.
Yeah.
So they get the reward.
Mm-hmm. The same reward.
Yeah. So even sometimes the Jewish believers thought this wasn't fair. Acts chapter 10, different things with Peter, mm-hmm. where it's like, well, wait a minute, we're the circumcision. We've been doing all the stuff. Mm-hmm. These guys are uncircumcised.
Yeah.
They've been a believer for 15 minutes, and the Holy Spirit's fallen on them too.
Yeah.
And this doesn't seem right. And, you know, to them it was a mystery.
Yeah.
But when you think about it from what we've said on the previous shows, and of course, as you study the scriptures, you realize this is not a mystery. This was the plan of salvation from the beginning.
It's a mystery to us because it's unfolding before our eyes, and it's not a mystery to God.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. I mean, long before anything was created, this was the plan of salvation.
And so, well, really, you know, if the guys that were working at 6 o'clock worked fast enough, they could have got it all done before. I mean, come on.
That's
you know.
Right.
No.
Were they in the union?
Oh. I don't know. You know, it's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
No, but
yeah.
in all seriousness. It talks about a lot of things, as you said, about the vineyard, you know, how it just all resembles the church
mm-hmm.
and what we're to do
mm-hmm.
in the kingdom of God
yes.
is to go out and produce a bountiful harvest.
Yeah.
And, you know, preaching the word is important because you don't know where somebody's at in their relationship with God. They might be, you know, even if somebody's a believer, they might be struggling with something, and you might, you know, meet somebody, God inspires you to say something to them, and that might just be a word of encouragement to them. And they mm-hmm. are, you know, they're renewed by God's word, because God's word always brings life.
Yes.
You know, and so as we look at this, that, I want to say jealousy,
resentment
creeps in, and it can be, they're taking something from us. They got the same as we. We should get more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that way because God, you know, God's not depletable.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to put it.
And if we think about God in from an earthly perspective or a worldly or a finite perspective, I should say.
Right.
We tend to think that things are going to run out. You know, there's only so many resources that are available in the earth. We're going to run out.
The pie's only so big.
You know, the pie's only so big. You know, last piece is gone. Then what do you have left? Nothing. You know, and certainly some of that might be true
mm-hmm.
that, you know, all the resources that we use today for our planet, some of them might be gone. But with God, it's not that way.
That's right.
Because he's infinite.
Amen.
And his love for us is immeasurable.
Mm-hmm.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit are immeasurable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as it's scripture says, he renews his mercies every day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Inexhaustible.
Yeah.
So to think that somehow we're being, you know, cheated out of something when he gave his only son for us.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's really, it's really kind of arrogant and simple-minded to be honest. It's something that we have to come to understand that if I receive the same amount of blessing as the person who received the same amount of blessing 20 years ago, mm-hmm. as the same amount of blessing that the person received 2,000 years ago. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Because the, you know, as we talked before, the adopted son or daughter receives the same inheritance as the natural born son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
The Gentile received the same inheritance as the Jew.
That's right. And some of the Jewish believers resented it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that's not a, maybe that's too strong of a word. They were surprised by it.
Yeah.
They didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Peter and John found out that people in Samaria were accepting Jesus, they said, we better go up there and see what's going on.
Yeah, those Samaritans, that was.
Yeah, I mean, what could be worse than that? And, you know, Philip preaches to the Ethiopian, then he goes to Samaria and preaches to people. And Peter and John go, wait a minute, he's preaching in Samaria? We better go up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go to Cornelius' house and, wait a minute, why are these Romans getting filled with the Spirit? That's pretty weird. It's supposed to be for us.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about that before, how, you know, this is a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion.
Yeah.
They just crucified Jesus.
That's right. Not too long before this.
Right. What's going through their minds of...
Yeah. But you know, the last part of that passage is what's important here. The owner, who of course is God, he's sovereign. He says, well, I can do what I want with my money. You know, God says, I'll bless who I want to bless and curse who I want to curse, mm-hmm. he tells Moses.
Right.
You know, he's sovereign. The owner's sovereign, and he's generous. He says, if I want to be generous, if I love this guy, even though he started working at 5 o'clock, I love this guy. I want to save him too.
Right.
I love you, and I, you know, you've done all this work, and that's awesome, and I appreciate all the work you've done, but I love this guy too, and I'm generous, so I'm going to give salvation to the Gentiles too, because
mm-hmm.
that's been the plan from the beginning. I offer eternal life to everybody.
Yeah.
To the person who started working at 6 a.m., let's say that was Abraham, and the person who started working at 5 p.m., which may be us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know. 5 p.m. might, you know, we might already be at 7 p.m.
Right.
In the scope of world history.
Right.
We may be like a few minutes before the sun's going to set. I mean,
exactly.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But we may be the people who came in last.
Yeah.
At the end. We're here for the end time harvest. And, you know, it's because of the cross, because of the blood of the cross, that reward is given to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how long they've been working, where they're from, what their heredity is, whether they're related to Abraham or not.
Right.
Because Paul, you know, deals with that. And, you know, he talks about the first and the last. You know, the Gentiles didn't have the covenant. They didn't have the true God. But here they are.
You know, right.
The Gentiles came into the vineyard. I mean, when you take what happened at Paul's time, when he's preaching in the Mediterranean world, the Gentiles who came into the vineyard, in quotes, which is the kingdom, the Gentiles who came in and knew God, believed in the Jewish Messiah, got salvation, they started working with a lot of enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
The church was spreading. And then in the book of Acts, it says, you know, there were hundreds of people were added all the time.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It went on and on and on because these people were evangelists that were working with a lot of enthusiasm. So the Jewish evangelist came, converted the Gentile guy to the Jewish Messiah, who then went and evangelized other Gentiles to come into the kingdom, and the gospel spread.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Woo. Oh, I love this song.
Oh.
This is Paul Wilbur. We're going to say something about him in a minute, but remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
And welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Ooh, good song. Remember, Paul Wilbur, October 10th, which is next Friday, Tikvat Israel, 7 p.m., 1370 Richmond Road, Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m., same place, Sunday night in Saturday night in Lancaster, Ohio, Sunday morning in Lakewood at Grace Point Church, which is 1260 Warren Road. If you've never heard him or seen him, come in here and see him.
10th, 11th, and 12th of October.
And it'll be Sukkot, so
right
it'll be
here.
Very exciting. Anyway, amen. Let's go on with our lesson. We can talk about Paul Wilbur anytime. Oh, no, but he's coming.
You don't want to miss it.
No.
Well, you know, as we were as we came into the first break, all of this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, wait here. Don't leave Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. Because as we've talked about many times, they're in the upper room and they're fearful.
Yeah.
With good reason.
Yeah.
With very good reason. They're fearful of their lives. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they're empowered by the love of God that transforms and just, you know, they encounter God's love in a way that it transforms them. Fear is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And preaching the truth is replaced. You know, the ability to preach the truth of the cross and the truth of what Jesus taught is just given to them by this grace of the Holy Spirit. As we see from, you know, Peter's first altar call, if you will, his first homily, whatever you want to call it.
Pentecost morning.
His first exhortation to bring people to faith. That Jesus, to proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah in all of its truth, in all of its vigor. He proclaims the gospel in a way that every one of us should be proclaiming the gospel. Whether you're a layperson, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a priest, whether you're a bishop or anybody.
Yeah.
The power of the Holy Spirit needs to rest upon you to proclaim the truth that Jesus, what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
Anything less, you're shortchanging people.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't shortchange us.
That's right. And it says with the owner of the vineyard, he's generous.
Yeah.
He can do what he wants with his money.
Right.
God can do what he wants in terms of his gifts, his graces.
Right.
And you know, he's sovereign. And so the resentment is really not appropriate in this case.
No.
And you know, the Jew and Gentile thing, which we've been talking about, is seen in this, but there's a couple other things too. And one of them is, imagine you mentioned it earlier, the people who knew Jesus and spread the gospel in the first century, and we're here spreading the gospel in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
We're way later workers than they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Jesus comes back, you know, a week from today, we were like at the end of the thing. We were like the guys who came in at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody like Paul and Peter and Thomas and all those guys could say, hey, wait a minute. Phil and Steve have been preaching for 15 years right at the end. We were preaching a long time ago, and we did all this stuff, and now how come they're here too? They're not going to say that.
No.
But, I mean, you can make a point for, you know, over time, there's different times that workers are called.
Right.
All through what we call Christian history.
Right.
Because the kingdom is spread. God is calling workers into the vineyard at every stage and every year since then.
Yeah. I mean, they could easily say, hey, why didn't we have a radio show?
Yeah.
No, I'm only joking.
We never had a website. How come they? No, they're not going to say that.
They're not going to say that.
Hey, when I go to Starbucks with Paul, it's going to be great. But you can come too. But
I can?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Do they have Zoops in heaven?
No. I hope so. But, you know, they aren't going to say that.
No.
They aren't going to say that. In all sincerity, you know, the workers that have been in the vineyard and those who have gone before us,
yeah,
they have to be rejoicing.
Amen.
I mean, you know, Scripture tells us that when one lost sheep comes into the fold, one of us, heaven rejoices.
Yes.
Every time somebody says, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
You know, every knee and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Even those who don't believe.
That's right. They're going to be forced to bow
their
knee.
They're going to be forced to bow their knee.
We're going to do it willingly.
Yeah. And so this, this harvest, this, you know, this vineyard, this worker, this landowner who invites all these people in. You know, it's like the wedding feast that Jesus talks about too. There was a wedding feast and they invited all the guests, but none of them showed up.
That's right.
And so he said, go out to the street and invite those who are here.
Yeah.
That's the same type of parable.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, they're standing there idle. Bring them into the wedding feast.
Yeah.
I want to share what I have with them.
That's right.
You know.
And it doesn't matter what time they came.
Right.
And you know, and I can't remember the passage offhand, but I was just thinking as you were saying that I don't remember if it was Peter and some of the other guys said to him, well, Lord, we've given everything up to follow you. You know, we had a business, we were fishing, we were doing stuff. We gave that all up to follow you. So, like, are we going to get something out of this? You know, and of course they got a huge reward. They gave up everything to follow him years ago, but we're here following him now. Right. And for example, as you were talking about, I was thinking about Stephen, not you, the other one, who was martyred. I mean, Stephen's thought to be the first martyr because he was stoned after doing this beautiful description of salvation history.
Right.
And if you can read that in Acts chapter 7, he was martyred way back then. I mean, that was probably, you know, 2, 3, 4 years after Jesus.
Right.
Wasn't very long. But somebody who comes to faith in Jesus today and is killed tomorrow because of his faith is also a martyr, is also going to get reward.
Right.
And when he goes in heaven and to meet Stephen, Stephen's going to give him a high five and say, welcome.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, gee, how come you're here too? You know, I got martyred a long time ago, but you know, it's the same reward.
Exactly.
They've given everything up to follow, and it's been going on through the years because the workers are always needed.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to bring people. It's not about seniority. You know, there were the apostles had a lot of seniority.
Right.
And we, like we said, you know, he may come back later tonight, in which case our harvesting is done.
Yeah.
But we get the same reward.
Yeah.
You know, in Revelation, it says, you know, we all get to reign with Christ. Doesn't matter when you die. Doesn't matter when you lived.
Yeah.
The reward is going to be the same. We get to rule over nations.
Yeah.
So because those people are in the Bible, so everybody knows Stephen was martyred.
Right.
Everybody knows that and all the details of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's hundreds and thousands of people that are martyred that nobody knows their name. Nobody knows the details of how they were martyred.
Yeah.
But they get the reward.
Right.
Because the landowner is generous and he's sovereign.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the continuation of that gospel, if we go to Matthew 21, I'm just going to read from 21. 28 to 32. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, what is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. And he said in reply, I will not, but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, yes, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? They answered, the first. Jesus said to them, amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him.
Mm.
Now, this really set the Pharisees off. that they didn't like being compared to tax collectors
or
prostitutes.
They got the message.
Their skin was ruffled by this.
Yeah,
or their feathers were ruffled by this, I should say. So Jesus is telling them, who's going out and producing the fruit for the kingdom? Is it you who are not proclaiming the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the person who is?
Yeah.
Is it the person that comes to faith that I'm the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus is the Messiah? Or is it the person who stands idle by and goes, I'm not sure?
Yeah, exactly. That's an excellent point.
I know a lot about him.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, certainly the scripture might point to him, but who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's not the person that sits there in confusion.
Yes.
It's the person that
That's right.
acts upon their faith. And yet they're an unprofitable servant.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, no matter what we do, we can't boast in any of our works because our salvation isn't based on that.
That's right.
You know, we come to salvation as a free gift and receive it,
mm-hmm.
and then we're called to go out into the vineyard and work and
That's
produce
right.
a harvest.
Yeah.
And it's not based on how many souls or how many people I can bring into the kingdom of God, which I hope it's many,
mm-hmm.
but it's doing what God's asking me to do
exactly.
and doing it faithfully.
And being available,
mm-hmm.
letting the Spirit empower you.
Yeah.
And you go. And you bring up an excellent point about, you know, there were people in the marketplace or the square, wherever this guy went, that were standing around idle.
Yeah.
You know, if you're standing around idle, you're not proclaiming the kingdom, you're not doing work,
right.
you're not working in the vineyard. He goes, hey, I need people to work. Why are you standing around here? Come and start working.
Right.
And the people that are, you know, God, who is represented, of course, by the owner of the vineyard, brings people in to work.
Mm-hmm.
The people standing around idle aren't working for the kingdom.
Right.
You know, the people standing around idle are, you know, as Paul would say in Romans, they're serving sin in the flesh. You know, they're
right.
going about their normal life. Where he goes, hey, come on, I need people to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the devil has a field of work, too.
Oh, yeah.
and he's got plenty of work going on. And you have to decide which field you're going to work in.
And even if you're, you know, you may say you're a believer. You know, and I've talked to people, and I know you've talked to people,
mm-hmm.
that say, well, you know, I gave my life to the Lord back in 1972.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been a believer ever since. And you talk to them about what they're doing. Well, nothing. I haven't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't done anything?
Yeah.
Ooh, you know.
It's very scary.
It's very scary. You know, and it's not a matter of what denomination you are or
mm-hmm.
how you've been raised in the faith.
Yeah.
If you sit by idly and your faith is dormant within you and you
mm-hmm.
profess to say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior,
mm-hmm.
you need to reexamine what you believe and why you believe it. Because if the love of Christ doesn't impel you to go and help your brother and sister enter into the eternal life that is offered by the new covenant.
Yeah.
That's not God's generosity and mercy.
That's right.
You know, God didn't give that to you so you can sit on it.
That's right. That's right.
To put the light under a bushel basket.
That's right.
You know, you're going to be like the parable of the talents where, well, Lord, here's the one that you gave me, but I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, plus I was kind of scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're created to do his work.
Mm-hmm.
He calls us to do his work.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture says we're saved unto good works. He has work for us to do.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty. You don't just say, oh, yeah, you know, I went down, signed the card, said the prayer. That was, you know, 58 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. And, well, yeah, you know, I've just been going about my life ever since then. You know, are you still standing around in the square,
yeah.
you know, when he's already called you? I mean, the signing the card and saying the prayer is the beginning of your work.
And this is the, you know, in this other parable about the two sons is a prime example of
exactly.
that. Did you go out into the vineyard and do what God asked you to do?
That's right. That's right. And you know, he calls us out of, you know, wherever these people are standing around idle. I mean, I was standing around idle.
Right.
You were standing around idle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of you listening were standing around someplace idle.
Right.
And he called you in. And your life was changed.
Yeah.
I mean, we're called from, you know, everybody lives in a world where there's ordinary things going on. There's business going on, and there's busyness going on, and there's mm-hmm. distractions going on, and there's worldliness going on. And some of those things you can't help.
Right.
You have to go to work. You have to take care of your family. You mm-hmm. have to go to the grocery store. You have to, you know, those kind of things. Just because you find the Lord and get saved, you still have to do those things.
Right.
But when you're in a place of worldliness, you know, he calls you to a different kind of work. Mm-hmm. He calls you to do his work.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, the church, the vineyard represents the church, and it's exactly right. And, you know, in the book, The Song of Songs, which is one of my favorite books, it talks about the vineyard. It talks about the bride has to keep her vineyard. And at the beginning, she says, you know, I'm not keeping my vineyard very well. But at the end, she goes, oh, man, my vineyard looks really awesome now because the grapes are coming in and all the fruit's being born. And the vineyard is a place where the work is being done. You know, Paul says we work out our salvation in fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just sit around going, yep, I'm saved. This is awesome. This is pretty cool. Yep. I think I'll see what's on TV. You know, you work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Nothing wrong with watching TV, but you know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. you're supposed to be out there digging, planting, pruning, weeding, watering.
Harvesting when necessary.
The stuff. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Cut the grapes off of the vine and put them in the bushel. You know, that's the work.
Yeah.
That's the work in the vineyard. And like these guys, each in the parable, each of these guys agreed to a wage. So there's a reward set before you.
Yeah.
So you know when you do the work, the wage, there's going to be a reward set before you. Mm-hmm. The wages of sin is death.
Right.
But when you're working in the vineyard, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting mm-hmm. you. I mean, there's all kind of descriptions of this. You know, we're servants. And we know that if we do the work the way we're supposed to do the work, we're going to be rewarded.
Yeah. You know, Psalm 84 says, the threshold of the house of God is far better than the dwelling place of the wicked.
Amen.
You know, just being on the outside, just being in the threshold of the house of God is infinitely better than having a house full of deceit and lies.
Exactly.
Because it means death.
That's right.
You know, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, so that through it you may grow into salvation. For you have tested that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For it says in Scripture, behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame. Therefore, its value is for you who have faith, but for those without faith, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make people stumble, and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people.
Mm-hmm.
You who had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Ooh.
Wow.
That kind of goes along with what we were saying before.
Yeah.
Applying to us Gentiles too.
Yeah. We were no people,
mm-hmm.
but now we're God's people.
That's right.
And we have to announce the praises of him who called us out of the darkness of standing just idly by in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Come into my light.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about that in that passage from Ephesians. It says that we become a house.
Mm-hmm.
And as there's more praise and more service and doing what God wants you to do, it becomes a temple of glory.
It grows.
As Christ is the cornerstone.
It grows.
And it goes along right from that passage you just read that Peter wrote.
Yeah.
Ooh, that gets me pretty excited.
Amen, brother.
Ooh, here comes Paul Wilbur again. Going to be here next weekend. So anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in a minute.
Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We only have probably 8 or 9 minutes left.
Yeah, before Paul gets here? To the end of the show. Okay.
To the end of the show.
Okay. I know.
But maybe we can get him to do a show sometime soon. Anyway, okay. But before we run out, the other thing I wanted to say is I was thinking about during the break was these workers are hired for a day. Our work time is very short.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, we all have a short amount of time to work. Some people work a couple of hours. Some people work a few days. Some people work for years. Mm-hmm. Some people work for a few decades. But in the relative span of time, relative span of eternity, our time working is very, very short. Yeah. They're hired for a day. That's our life. Mm-hmm. But the wage, the reward, is an eternal one.
Yeah.
So that, you know, those of us, and I'm firmly convinced that those of us that are here now are like the guys who got hired at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's going to be 2,000 more years till he comes back. I think it's going to be a lot less than that. It might be a few years, but our time on earth is very short.
It is.
So that should encourage us to work more diligently. Mm-hmm. When I witness to people during the day at my office, I say, you know, there's not a lot of time left. I don't have time to not tell you this.
Yeah.
I don't have time to say, well, I'll talk to you about this next time.
I mean, to really do that too is to deprive somebody of hearing the gospel.
Yes.
To saying, well, maybe I'll talk with them tomorrow about it. You know, there's always more time.
Yeah.
That's a convenient lie.
Yeah.
Because nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody's guaranteed the next minute.
That's right. That's right. And you know, God, the scripture says today's the day of salvation.
Right. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. We don't know what the next hour holds for us.
Yeah.
We may think we do, but we really don't.
That's right.
I mean, and, you know, as you're talking about in the concept of eternity, I mean, you know, human's lifespan is what, 70, 75 years. Really, when you measure time as eternal.
Yeah.
That is, it's a blink of an eye, really.
Not even a drop in the ocean.
Yeah. So our life is very short. Sometimes it may seem like it's long. But it really is very short in the span of eternity.
And so we need to work diligently.
Exactly.
Because we have work to do in the vineyard. We should do it diligently. And like you say, you know, even if Jesus doesn't come back for another 128 years, you may die tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And your day may be over tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the payment comes when the day of work is over.
Yeah.
One way or another. You know, in the evening is, you know, kind of the reckoning time. Okay, day's over now.
Right.
Here's your pay. Mm-hmm. You know, you may not have the next day.
Right.
You know, you give an account for what you did. Mm-hmm. So in the analogy of our lives, you know, we're working in the vineyard, but when he calls us out of the vineyard and says the work's over, it's going to be when we die.
Exactly.
And like it says in that passage from Deuteronomy, you get paid at the end of the workday.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, well, okay, in another month, I'll give you your reward.
Yeah.
You can just lay in the grave for a month and then I'll pay you.
Right.
Because your reward is then, and the day ends when you die, mm-hmm. or he comes back. And, you know, for each of us, we don't know what's going to come first.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about the harvest has got to be done before the rain comes. You know, we got to get the harvest in before he comes back.
Right.
And if I die today, okay, there's going to be plenty of people still working in the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
If I die 10 years from now, there'll still be a lot of people working in the vineyard.
Right.
But then if he comes back today and says, okay, that's it, there's nobody else working in the vineyard anymore because then the work is done.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, at the second coming, Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats.
Yes.
And he's going to rule the nations with an iron rod.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the day of salvation at that point. It's the day of judgment.
Yes.
And, you know, while there is time, God's mercy is abundantly available.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's better to pass through the doors of God's mercy than it is than to pass through the doors of God's judgment. You don't want to wait for that day. And if you know, if you're listening and you're thinking, well, what does all this mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what it means to you is your eternal destination. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to spend all of eternity? Are you going to spend it in the threshold of the house of God, in the dwelling place that Jesus says he goes and prepares for us in John 14, that he will come and take you back to himself? If I go, I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will come and take you back to myself, mm-hmm. so that where I am, you may also be. Mm-hmm. And Thomas says, well, Lord, where are you going? We don't know.
Yeah.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. Nobody comes to me nobody comes to the Father except through me. Yeah.
And that's all we have to know.
So if you're listening and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and said, Lord, come to my life, I need you, maybe we should just end with a call, you know,
yeah.
an altar call to invite you to receive the Lord as your Savior.
That's the most important decision you're going to make.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any idea what we're talking about, you have to take this very seriously, because he's the door, he's the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way.
Mm-hmm.
No one comes to the Father but by me.
Right.
And you're living, you know, if you're standing around in the marketplace like those guys who aren't working, you know, he's calling to you to come and work.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know, like we just said, how much time you have.
Right.
And there is no other way to salvation.
Right.
The world has been telling you, especially you younger people, whatever your generation is called, I can't keep track of all that. But, you know, you younger people have been taught, oh, everything's okay. You know, if there is a God, he loves everybody. And, you know, if there is a God, he's really nice and Jesus is really nice and everybody's going to go to heaven and everything's going to be nice. Well, that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
That has a kernel of truth in it. God is very nice, right. and he's loving and he's gracious.
Right.
But not everybody is going to be saved.
Yeah. So let's pray. Father in heaven, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'll just pray this prayer in faith and believe. Lord Jesus, I've looked for you and I'm seeking you and I want to know you. Lord, show me the way, show me the truth, that I may know you as my Lord and Savior, that I may know the love that you have for me, the love that you poured out on the cross for me, that I may know that my sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus, and through your resurrection, the grace to receive the Holy Spirit, that I can go and proclaim the gospel, that you have called me out of darkness into your own wonderful light. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. And boy, is that an important thing. I mean, there's going to be no more important thing you do in your life than what Steve just read, said, prayed.
Yeah.
And you need to come into the vineyard to work. But the most important thing of what he just said is there is no other way for your sin to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. There is no other way for atonement to be made for what you've done.
Right.
Not just you, but everybody.
Right.
Us, everyone.
No man can atone for his own sin.
That's right. And we're not going to have the high priest going in with the blood of bulls and goats anymore.
Jesus has already done that.
Amen.
And in his flesh,
he breaks down the enmity.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, the end of this series, and I still think that's the most important line in it. In his flesh, the wall of partition is broken down.
Yeah.
And even though you don't have a clue what a Jew is or what a Gentile is, there's enmity between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in the garden and is going on.
Yeah.
And you're carrying your sin nature around and you're violating the law. You're transgressing his law. And there is nothing in front of you other than punishment and judgment if you don't understand what happened on the cross.
Right. Because before Jesus came, there was judgment, sin, and condemnation. After Jesus comes, there's salvation and eternal life.
Woo. Wow. Awesome. Mm. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the grace of God's Holy Spirit would rest upon your heart to give you his peace and his shalom and to know his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.